This message comes from NPR sponsor, Hulu. Based on shocking true events, the new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, tells the story of a savage murder in a small town. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu.
Hi, I'm Zeb from Du Bois, Pennsylvania. The Sound of Young America is an independent production supported by listeners like you and me. If you'd like to donate to support the show, visit MaximumFun.org and click on Donate.
Live on tape from my house in Los Angeles, I'm Jesse Thorne, and this is The Sound of Young America from MaximumFun.org.
Radio sweetheart on the airways, it's the sound of young America. Maximum.
It's The Sound of Young America. I'm Jesse Thorne. My guest on this program is the actress Jane Lynch. She's one of the stars of the new Starz series, Party Down. On the show, she plays a catering waitress who has a side career as an actress. As she enters middle age without having caught her big break, she has a surprisingly zen attitude about it. Here's a scene from the show.
Hey, Henry. You're not still down in the dumps about this whole Hollywood thing, are you?
No.
You know, when you've been in the acting business as long as I have, you see that everything comes and goes in cycles. You're up. You're down.
Yeah, I mean, I quit, so
you
it's...
You sound kind of... like my friend Ed. Now, Ed was an actor, and he tried and tried and never got that magic role. He worked nights at a copy store and lived in a terrible apartment filled with roaches, but he never gave up. Mm. And then, on his 60th birthday... He said, that's it. I quit. I can't do this anymore. And guess what happened a week later?
He got discovered.
He died.
He just dropped dead.
He was on Venice Pier, and some tourists asked him to take their picture, and he stepped back a little too far. Hang in there.
Okay.
It's The Sound of Young America. I'm Jesse Thorne. My guest on the program, actress Jane Lynch, has been the highlight of films, including but not limited to, Best in Show, The 40-Year-Old Virgin, recently Role Models. She's also been a regular player on The L Word, among many other television programs. Basically, if you look at this woman's IMDb, there are few primetime television programs that she has not appeared on. She's also now one of the featured players in the cast of the Starz sitcom Party Down. Jane, welcome to The Sound of Young America. It's great to have you.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be here. Thanks.
Oh, that's great. That was really sincere.
It was. I meant it.
Oh, that's
every fiber
nice
of my
of
being
you, Jane
is
Lynch.
Resonating with the gratitude.
I really appreciate that. So, speaking of your IMDb, I noticed that by the time your credits start, by the time your LA television and film credits start, you were already pretty much in your 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a different plan for your life before age 30, or
you know,
were you
I stopped
having a hard
having
time getting a gig?
I stopped making plans for my life when I turned about 40. I had all sorts of plans that were kind of happening and kind of not. But I got to be about 39, and I took a walk on Runyon Canyon, which is in Los Angeles, and I said to myself, I think I better quit. And it was within a couple of months that I got Best in Show. But it was certainly not, you know, toiling unrewarded. I had a voiceover career that was, you know, keeping me in an apartment and paying my bills. And I had commercials like 1998, 99. I did a boatload of commercials, and that really helped me buy a house. And I'd have a guest spot on a sitcom here and there. But it wasn't until Best in Show, which I was 39. And that's kind of blew the doors open to this wave that I've been riding for the last, I guess it's almost 9 years now. And so I was, you know, against all Hollywood beliefs, my career really didn't start till I was 40.
Best in Show was one of these mostly improvised Christopher Guest ensemble comedy pieces. And he's well known for keeping a very sort of repertory cast. How did you end up getting into the club?
Happy accidents, really. I did a commercial with Christopher. He's a director too. He directs commercials, and I did a Kellogg's Frosted Flakes commercial with him shortly before he started.
We've gotta get guests.
Exactly, and he does. He still does. He directs anything that's good on television that's a commercial. He's directed it. And then Best in Show came along after that, and I ran into him at a restaurant, like as he was just putting it together. And he said, I've got an idea. Come to my office. And so we had a little meeting, and by the end of it, I was going to be on my way to Vancouver to shoot Best in Show. So it was a big deal.
Did you think of it as a big of a deal as it turned out to be
yes,
at the time?
Yes, I kind of knew it was going to be a big deal. I don't know that I thought it was going to be a big deal where it would make me famous or make me rich, but I knew that...
Certainly
it's
not
exactly,
as rich and famous as you are
I ended
now.
Up being, yes. I'm dripping in cash, and I can't walk down the street unmolested. But I knew that it was exactly the kind of work I wanted to do. When I saw Waiting for Guffman, I saw it by myself in a theater, the Angelica Theater in New York, and I almost fell in the aisles, laughing and also going, oh, my God, this is what I want to do. It's not big stuff. It's all about people being very, very real and having dreams and yearning within their own little microcosm of the universe. And I loved that. I just adored it. And when I got this film, Best in Show, I thought, this is it. This is exactly where I want to be. How lucky am I?
How did the experience when you got to the set compare to the setup that you'd given yourself in your head?
Well, I was really afraid. I mean, I had a lot of anxiety around it. And Jennifer Coolidge, who was my partner in this, probably had a little bit more anxiety. So, you know how there's in a duo, if one person has more anxiety than the other, then the other person is kind of forced to be the calm one. So I kind of calmed down and would comfort her. And we were very much partners in this. You know, it was the first time for both of us. So I had her hand to hold, and she had mine, and it was a lot of fun. And we had a really good time, really great time, because we didn't mingle with the other cast members until the dog show part. So we had a full, you know, movie to shoot without them. The way Chris shoots is so simple. There's no rehearsal. And you just kind of show up and you gab, and they shoot forever, the takes go on forever, and you hope, you know, that you've given him something he can use. And as it turns out, he's a terrific editor, so he takes it into a little dark room for several months and makes it, you know, he basically hands you a performance.
With Sherry Ann, we have this fantastic friendship, too. It's really great. And we have a little bit of a family dynamic going here, and it pretty much mirrors what I grew up with, you know. My father was the taskmaster, the disciplinarian, which is what I do. I'm the mommy slash daddy. That's right.
Like Mr. Punishment.
Oh, well, you know, and also reward. Mm. But Sherry's responsible for the unconditional love, you know.
And the decorative abilities.
Exactly, the heart and the soul, you know, which is what my mother did, and that was her job. You know, she was there for the unconditional love. And it worked for my family, you know, until my mom committed suicide in 81.
He basically gives you your given circumstances. You know, you're the top trainer, and you hook up with this woman who has this top poodle, and she's married to an old guy, and you guys aren't going to end up making out. That's basically what he said. So we pretty much fill in, you know, how the characters feel about each other and how they feel about their job. Like, you know, Jennifer made her into this really kind of vacuous, confused heiress type who just wanted to win. And I made it my character, you know, kind of ruthless and ambitious, but really with a deep, deep insecurity. You know, please let me be someone in this world, which I could really identify with. And so we get to decide how the characters look. And he'll say to the wardrobe person, you know, ask Jane what she wants to wear. Ask Jennifer what they want to wear. The scene director will come up to you and say, what do you think your house should look like? And they actually listen to you. It's kind of a unique and rare situation in movie making where they ask you about all aspects of your character and how you want it to look and sound.
You know, one of the things that I really like about the Christopher Guest movies is that so many of the characters are women and they get to be really funny.
Yeah.
That's something that you don't see a lot in a lot of comedy in Hollywood, even in ensembles. And I read that you actually end up auditioning for parts that are written for men
I
sometimes.
Do. Yeah, the 40-Year-Old Virgin was written for a man. The store manager Steve Carell, who I've known since Chicago, his wife, Nancy Walls, and God bless her for this, said, you know, you've got too many men in your movie. You need a woman other than just the love interest. And said, you should bring Jane in for the store manager. And he said, okay. And so we improvised together, and that's where the me coming on to him came out. So that's kind of nice to, you know, get a role that maybe was meant for a guy.
How is it different for you as a woman in your 40s than it was as a woman in your 20s and 30s finding these roles?
Well, for me, and this is probably particular to me, I didn't work in my 20s and 30s. I just didn't. I wasn't getting cast. I hadn't grown into who I was going to be. I guess I was meant to be a 40-year-old.
Were you trying to get work?
Oh, yeah, in my 30s especially. And I'd get the occasional, like, doctor on Party of Five, the sales lady on some sitcom, and the Lamaze coach on Empty Nest, you know, something like, always an authoritative position too. I think I had to grow into, I had to be 40 in order to spread my wings in bigger parts. And that's just particular to me. And it certainly goes against the grain for the Hollywood belief that once you're 40, you don't work anymore. You know, it kind of depends on who you are as a person and where your prime is, you know, because sometimes people work in their 20s and their early 30s and you don't see them again because just kind of who they are doesn't translate to, you know, their gift was being 25 to 35.
Why do you think it has worked so well since you were 40?
I think I did kind of find a niche, you know, accidentally. It was like kind of rolled into it, like I rolled out of bed and rolled into this niche one morning and went, whoa, I'm here. And then people start to say, oh, well, you know what? We could use, you know, like that Best in Show thing worked with Jane Lynch, Jennifer Coolidge, that kind of character thing. Why don't we put that in here? And so, you know, I think the same thing for Jennifer. I had to speak for her, but I think she would agree that, you know, her career didn't start to take off until, you know, Best in Show as well. And I think it's because we've kind of found a niche together.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but
you're wrong.
Okay.
And moving on.
Reset. It's the Sound of Young America. I'm Jesse Thorne. My guest on the program is the comic actress Jane Lynch.
Glad to be here.
You've been out pretty much your whole career, as I understand it. And, you know, when you were in your 20s and 30s and auditioning for commercials, I can't imagine that had a huge impact on your career.
Well, nobody cared or knew. No one asked me if I was.
It's not like, you know, when you go into audition, you fill in your height and weight. You don't put in...
Check gay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I'm sure that had some... companies like Procter & Gamble known, maybe they wouldn't have been so excited to use me as the mom. I don't know. I have no idea.
Has it had any effect over the past 10 years?
No, it hasn't, as far as I know. And if it has, it's been behind my back. And I have the people who came before me to thank, like Melissa Etheridge and Ellen DeGeneres and all those people who kind of took one for the team and came out when it wasn't popular to say. And I didn't have to have a coming out. I kind of just seamlessly started having a career, and nobody really seems to care, which is great. It's great. I got bigger fish to fry. So does the world.
When I was reading about you on the internet this morning, preparing for this interview, I saw you. This will, I think, prove wrong your claim that nobody seems to care. I saw an interview that you did with a program called the Celesbian Show or something involving the portmanteau Celesbian, and it occurred to me that from the hyperventilating that this woman who was interviewing you was, in fact, the premise of the interview was essentially her hyperventilations about getting to meet you. Was that you get to be, by virtue of your tremendous success and skill and also being out your whole career, you get to be kind of a gay icon? Is that fun? Like, it seems like it would be fun.
That's funny. You could ask somebody if they're a gay icon. How do you answer that without, yes, I am a gay icon.
You won the top 10 Out Ladies in Hollywood Award or something like that.
Well, you try and come up with 10 lesbians in show business every year and give them an award. I was bound to get one. It's nice. It's great. You know what's wonderful about it, and I don't mean to sound like I'm so altruistic. But it, what's great about it is that there are kids out there in, you know, the far reaches of the country where it's not real popular to come out as a homosexual, who see that if you go to the right places like L.A., New York, maybe Chicago, you can be who you are. And nobody's going to give you a hard time, and that there are places in this world where you will be loved for who you are, and not because or revile you because of your sexuality or your orientation.
It's The Sound of Young America. I'm Jesse Thorne. My guest is the actress Jane Lynch. We'll have more with Jane when we come back in just a minute.
Production of The Sound of Young America is supported in part by Ask Metafilter. Thousands of life's little questions answered. Online at ask.metafilter.com.
The Sound of Young America is live in Portland on Saturday, April 26th. The show's at 4:30 p.m. at the Baghdad Theater, and we've got a crazy great lineup of guests. Music from Mira and Blitz and Trapper, comedy from Reggie Watts and the Third Floor, and interviews with Nick Kroll and Brian Michael Bendis. Best of all, tickets are only $10 at the door. Bring your friends to The Sound of Young America Live in Portland the afternoon of Saturday, April 26th. You can find more information on our live page at MaximumFun.org or visit BridgetownComedyFestival.com. That's the live page of MaximumFun.org or BridgetownComedyFestival.com. It's The Sound of Young America. I'm Jesse Thorne. My guest is the actress Jane Lynch. Let's talk a little bit about Party Down. It's such a great show. The character that you play on this show is kind of the opposite of those stern authority figures. Was that part of the appeal?
Well, I got to do whatever I wanted with it, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to relax a little bit. I'm going to bring it down a notch and not be the person who's strategizing and advocating and, you know, who has an agenda. And I made Constance this very in the moment, happy, unflappable, really doesn't want to be anywhere else than where she is right now, and kind of has this fake past that she likes to brag about, that she was basically a featured extra in movies like Hooper and The Poseidon Adventure, and loves, has been catering for 25 years and loves it. Her name is Constance, and so that's where I got my cue. She's constantly catering. And everybody else, all the other crew members, and there's five other actors in our ensemble, they play characters who are really young and hungry and striving to get somewhere, you know, and they would want to be anywhere but catering, but they got to pay the bills, so.
Are you milking me for information, old McDonald? I'm not in the
It's brilliant.
Thank you. It felt really good.
It was fantastic. Hey, guys.
Hey, did you hear about Callum's dad? He has a production company, and they're thinking of doing a live-action Old MacDonald for kids. And he thinks I have a quality.
She's just kind of running through the whole barnyard here, you know, trying to find the right animal.
Oh,
okay. How about your pig? You got a pig in the repertoire?
This little piggy's going to market.
Find some of the physicality.
Little piggy's going to market.
Okay, now do it again, but think like a pig.
Okay. This little piggy's going to market.
Incredible.
Yeah, Constance, actually, Ron really wanted you to do the veggie platter.
Okay,
now,
okay.
So, yeah, sorry.
Stay right here.
Okay? Okay, I'm right here.
Don't go anywhere.
Hurry back.
I will. Oh, okay. I will.
You got a gift. All right.
Did you ever reach that state of zen calm about your career when you were desperately trying to book Kellogg's Frosted Flake commercials?
No, not then, no. I always had some equanimity, I think. I always had a little. I think that's what kept me going, so I wasn't destroyed, you know, because this is, you know, when you want to be an actor and you kind of stick with it and it's been what you wanted for your entire life, there's a lot of passion around it and a lot of desire and a lot of fear that you're not going to get what you really feel you were put on the planet to do. So I had something in me that kept me from spinning out of control and getting, completely depressed about it. So I have always had a little bit of equanimity, but I have a great deal more now.
Is what you're doing now what you had imagined yourself for yourself, say when you were in the when you were in the Second City in Chicago or something like that?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm doing. I never would have planned the way I got here, I thought I would like get discovered and be in a sitcom or something, and it just hasn't turned out that way. I piecemealed my way to where I am. So I knew what I wanted, but I didn't know exactly how it was going to happen. And I think a good lesson for you kids out there too is to don't have a plan for how it's supposed to happen. Just know what you want and be open to taking a left here and a right there, even though it seems like doing Second City was not my goal. I thought I wanted to be a theater actress, and Second City was one of the many resumes I sent out that week that called me and said, come in for an audition. And I was like, all right, it's not exactly what I wanted to do, but I wanted to do something in the theater, and I ended up getting in the touring company, and I started loving doing sketch and the little bit of improv that you do in the touring company. You don't do much. It was really good training.
We talked a little bit about the way those Christopher Guest movies have so many generous characters for women. There's this wonderful renaissance going on right now in comedic film. Just the other day, I was thinking about the fact that if I had, looked at the comedies in movie theaters 15 years ago, I wouldn't have seen, outside of maybe the occasional Wayne's World, like there was just the big stars of comedy were people that I didn't really think were funny. Mm-hmm. And today, if I look at the stars in movie theaters, they're like all people that I think are really great. Like I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, good.
But at the same time, this type of movie that has come to the fore is largely about, slightly tender for dudes, but they're all about dudes.
Yeah, bromance.
Pretty much. Like, do you see anything, do you see any opportunities on the horizon for, where do you see that coming? And is that, do you think that's a problem with these movies, that they really are about, all these comedies really are about guys?
Well, you kind of can't make somebody make a movie about something they don't want to make a movie about. And, Judd Apatow makes movies about what he knows, and he's great at it, and he gets to make a lot of them. And they're all good, too. I mean, they're all good, and they're all funny. This is a man's world, and it is harder for women to make their presence known, and it's systemic, and I really try as a practice not to step so far outside of myself that I'm viewing the entity that is Hollywood and get frustrated about it and plot on how I can change it. I don't have like an agenda to bring more women to comedy or to make myself, more prevalent. But, I just try to keep my nose to the grindstone and worry about me and not things that are bigger than me. I try not to go macro.
Well, Jane, thank you so much for being on the Sound of Young America. What a joy to have you.
Thanks for having me. This has been fun.
Jane Lynch is not only featured in the upcoming Fox sitcom Glee, she's also currently on the Starz Network or on your Netflix and things like that in the great new series Party Down. Thanks again.
Thank you.
That's our time for another Sound of Young America program. I've been your host, Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart. The show produced by Speaking Into Microphones, our theme music written and performed by Dan Grayson with help from myself. Interstitial music provided by Dan Wally. Our editor is Nick White. Our intern, Brian Fernandez. The third annual Maximum Fun Drive is May 1st to May 15th, so get ready to donate big time for awesome prizes, which we call thank you gifts, and lots of other cool stuff, which is in the works for the Maximum Fun Drive, May 1st through May 15th. You can email me directly if you have thoughts about the show, jesse@MaximumFun.org, or you can post them on our forums at MaximumFun.org/forum. Of course, I urge you to visit MaximumFun.org, check out the blog, and if you visit MaximumFun.org, you might be in for a surprise over the next couple weeks or so, as long as everything goes according to Hoyle. Anyway, we'll see you next time right here on The Sound of Young America.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com.
All that sitting and swiping. Your body is adapting to your technology. Learn how and what you can do about it.
I really felt like the cloud in my brain kind of dissipated. Once I started realizing what a difference these little breaks were making, there's no turning back for me.
Take NPR's Body Electric Challenge. Listen to the series wherever you get your podcasts.